welcome all, and welcome to all who are joining us through the internet. Now today I'd like to go back to John chapter 14 again. Many times the Lord will lay something on my heart, and I think it's just a one-week sermon, and it just keeps going on and on and on, and this happens to be one of them, so this has not been planned. It's by the Spirit, but we've been looking at John chapter 14, and I want us to read verse 27 again this morning. And let's open up with this scripture. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That has been our text over the last couple of weeks. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the assurance from your word that we have, that we may live a trouble-free life, that we might live in your peace. So today, Lord, as we open up your word, I thank you that you will think through my mind as you speak through my mouth, Lord. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit who takes the words and brings life unto each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. We know we live in a time where I don't think trouble has been as prominent. And maybe it's because we have the media. Years ago, they didn't have the media. Now we know what's going on around the world. Everybody has it on CNN, on their TVs, even on their phones. You can keep up with what's going on in the world. So the world seems to be getting to be a much smaller place. But I don't know about you, but every time I turn on the news lately, it's like last night there was another country that I hadn't heard of that is now on the brink of civil war again. And I'm thinking, whoa, that one hasn't been in the news now. And there's another one. And it's like it just continues on and on. And I know that the message that the Lord is giving me is for this hour. Okay, we're living in some very perilous times, and I think all of us can agree. But God's word to us is don't be troubled. Do not be afraid. Don't let your hearts be afraid. And we've been using this as our text for the last couple of weeks. And I said this, out of all of the things Jesus wanted his disciples to have, it was peace of mind. It was very important that his disciples, when he left, had peace of mind, because we know and we've looked at the fact that Jesus said these words in the light of his departure. He was leaving, and he says to them, don't be afraid. Don't let your hearts be troubled. I give you my peace. It was important for Jesus to know that his disciples would have peace because he was leaving this world. But he also knew this, that the Holy Spirit was going to be sent back to his disciples. And he knew even at that time, because he even said, I can't share everything with you. But he knew that once the Holy Spirit came, the Holy Spirit would give his disciples the understanding that they needed in order to have peace. At that moment, the disciples are thinking, how can we have peace when you're leaving? How can we not be troubled and afraid in our hearts when you're leaving us alone? They didn't really understand, like I said last week, why Jesus had to go to the cross, why Jesus had to go through what he was going to go through and then leave them. But that's why Jesus said the Holy Spirit is coming back and he's going to take the things that are of me. He's going to show you the things that you do not understand now. But in the meantime, do not let your hearts be troubled, neither be afraid. So, he was going to send the Holy Spirit back, and the Holy Spirit would give unto them the understanding of his death and the understanding of his resurrection. And it was this understanding that the Holy Spirit would bring to their hearts that would keep their hearts from being troubled and afraid. It was the understanding of Jesus' death and his resurrection that would keep their hearts from being troubled. Now today, guess what? He is still speaking the same thing to his people. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And especially today, if you were to ask him what he is saying, he would speak the same words. And especially because it looks so dark in our world today. But if you and I do not have a good understanding of what Jesus really meant when he said these words, when he again reassured his apostles in John chapter 16, verse 33, then it would be hard for us. In fact, it would be almost impossible for our hearts to be kept troubled free and fear out. If we do not understand what he was saying, why he was saying it, we cannot have a heart that is trouble free or that has no fear in it, right? John chapter 16, verse 33. What did Jesus say? These things I've spoken to you. He's talking about all the things he shared with his disciples about his departure. He says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you will have peace, or you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but cheer up, guys. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now that's what we were looking at last week. And the more understanding that we have of Jesus' victory, the more of his peace of mind that you are going to enjoy in this life. The more understanding you have, and we will dwell in this peace. Like he said, my peace I give you. Enter into my peace. We will dwell in that peace and we will not be afraid. Now, the word overcome, we know, simply means victorious over. Jesus is saying, cheer up, guys. I am victorious. I've overcome the world, or I am victorious. I have the victory over the world. Now, we saw from last week and the week before that the word world is referring to what? An orderly arrangement of things, or a natural course of events. When the Bible speaks about world, we're talking about the events, the natural course of life. We talk about the natural, right? It's natural for a plant to grow up and go through the different stages, then produce the harvest, and then fall away and die and be no more. That's the natural course of events. It's natural for babies to be born and then begin to crawl and then begin to walk and then to grow up and eventually to pass away. That's the natural course of the world, the orderly arrangement. Now, sometimes in the world we see what we call phenom. That means, what does that mean? That means it's not going with the natural course of events. When you have a child who is a genius at the age of 5, that's not normal. That is not a natural course of events according to the world, right? So we call it unnatural. We call it a phenomenon. That's a phenomenon because that's not natural, right? So you understand when the Bible refers to the world, it's not speaking about the, you know, the world. I guess it is in a way, but it's referring to the natural course of events. So Jesus says, cheer up, guys. I've overcome the natural course of events. He is victorious over it. Now, Jesus wasn't victorious over the natural course of events for himself. He always was victorious over the world. You weren't. I wasn't. So the victory that he got or obtained was for us, not for himself. So the more we understand this victory, the more his peace will dwell in our hearts. Now, Jesus was victorious, or he has overcome the world. And the world means the natural course of events, or, like I said last week, if you dig deeper into this word, it means the world's way of being right, or of obtaining, or of receiving things that we need in this life. That is what the word world means. And the reason there is so much fear and worry in the world today is because the natural course of events, or man's way of obtaining in this world, isn't working so good, is it? It's all, why? Because it's all passing away. There's no guarantees. In the natural course of events, there's no guarantees. There's no safety. There is no guarantee, let's put it this way, that you are going to remain healthy for the rest of your life. Can I hear an amen? There's no guarantee of that in this life, in the natural course of events. There's no guarantee that you are going to be prosperous for the rest of your life. There is no guarantee in the natural. You can have a good job today and lose it tomorrow. There's no guarantees in this world and in its system. Why is that? Because the world is under a curse. We know that. And everything in this world is passing away. I don't care what it is. It is passing away. It is dying. 1 John 2:17 says this, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever." There's no passing away. But remember Jesus said, now I'm going to explain what that really means. When Jesus said in three of his gospels, he said, heaven and earth is going to pass away, but my words will never, ever, ever pass away. That takes a revelation by the Holy Spirit to really see that. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but not my word. My word will never pass away. It is eternal. Now, in the world, we know that things are changing all the time. In other words, today the doctor might give you a clean bill of health and say, Lorelei, good, everything's good, you're healthy, your blood pressure is good, your sugar's good, everything is good, you're as healthy as a 20-year-old. That might be the word of the doctor today or the report. There is no cancer, there's no diabetes, there's no high blood pressure, everything's good. But tomorrow, those words could quickly change. That gives us no guarantee that even though today the words spoken at us might be facts, but it means nothing about tomorrow or the year after that or the year after that. So in other words, tomorrow can bring anything. Everything is subject to change in this world. When the Bible refers to the world, it's talking about all of those things that are subject to change. There's no security, there's no safety, there's no guarantees. In other words, circumstances are always changing. And there's another passage of scripture in the Bible that tells us that the fashion of this world passes away. Now, if you look up the word fashion, it actually means circumstances. Circumstances, today you might be in a pickle, tomorrow it might all be better. Or today you might be good and tomorrow you're going to be in a pickle. Circumstances are continually changing. And how many times do we make decisions based on circumstances? And that's why a lot of times we don't know, because we don't know what the circumstances are going to be a year from now. So it's constantly changing. But Jesus is saying, be of good cheer. I have delivered you from this present evil world. And not when we die and go to heaven, but right now. We don't need deliverance once we're out of this world. So how and what are we delivered from when the Bible talks about that? How are we delivered from this world, and what is being delivered from this world? What does that mean to us? Now remember, there's only one thing that never passes away. We're talking about how we're delivered. There's only one thing that never passes away. What did I say that was? The Word of God. What God says. Jesus is our deliverer. We were delivered from this present evil world, okay? Jesus is the deliverer, but Jesus is no longer here in the flesh, is he? But what do we have? We have his word. His word is. And Jesus, in John 1, chapter 1, verse 14, it says, the word became flesh and he dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, who was the Word, put on a flesh body, came down to the earth to deliver us. So that Word never passes away. What is the Word that delivers us? It just told us. Jesus became flesh. He dwelt among us. We beheld the only glory as of the Father, of the Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the word that delivered you. The word that delivered you from this present evil world is not the law. Thou shalt do this, thou shalt do that. No, the word that delivered you was full of grace and truth, who is Jesus. That's the word we're talking about that will never pass away. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now listen carefully, because I'm going somewhere with this. I know that we don't even understand. I want to bring it all together. We are delivered by his word of grace, which is the truth. So let's talk about this deliverance, because many of God's people believe that we are only delivered from spiritual or eternal separation from God. They believe that when they receive Jesus, the only deliverance they really have is they are delivered from now dying and going to hell. Come on, it's true. They do not see themselves as being delivered from this present evil world. What are we talking about? Let's look at this word evil. What is evil? What are we delivered from? Well, that word evil means harmful, hurtful. It means grievous. It means pain. It means ill, disease. It means we are delivered from this present evil world and everything in the world that's evil. People don't understand that. They say, well, No. As long as we live in this world, we're subject to the world's evils just like the rest of the world. I could have something, a great calamity or sudden destruction happen to me in my life with my children or whatever, just like anybody else. No, that is not what the word teaches. It is not what the word teaches. And we are either going to believe the word which never passes away. It's not subject to change. It's not, you know, the circumstances of that word does not change. God's word is what it is. And we're going to have to make a choice, and especially in these last days. We cannot think that, well, we're going to be a part of the world or you know, kind of back and forth. No, we're coming to a place on the earth where we're either going to be in the kingdom of God or we're going to live like the rest of the world and be subject to the world's evils. You cannot mix the two together. It's one or the other. What do you believe? So there's many of God's people who believe that we're only delivered from spiritual or eternal separation from God. And as long as we live in this body of flesh, in this world, we are going to have the same evils happen to us as the rest of the world. We hear people, Christian people, saying things like, you know, when trouble comes their way, or maybe they're talking to a friend who's in you know, just been diagnosed with some horrible disease. And they, you know, we say things like, well, you know, that's just part of life. Come on, we say it ourselves. Well, that's just life. You know, in other words, what we're saying, you know, is we're helpless against the evils of this life. You know, or what can we do? That's just the way life is. We say these things. And you hear them, and you say them. Oh, well, you know, that's life. Is it? Is it your life? Is that what Jesus said? You know, that is, you know, according to the Bible, that is evil speaking. We don't think of it as evil speaking, but that is evil speaking. What is evil speaking? It talks a lot about, I used to think evil speaking was swearing. That's not what evil speaking is. Evil speaking is saying something, anything that goes contrary to what the word of God tells you. The word of God's grace. I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments. That's not the word of his grace. The just, those that are justified are to live by grace. The law does not produce faith. The unjust live by the law. The just live by faith. So evil speaking is speaking contrary to what God's word says. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says this, "For he that will love life and see good days, let his tongue refrain from evil." In other words, don't speak contrary to what the word of God is telling you. And see that your lips speak no deceit or no guile. So evil speaking is all things that we say that goes in opposition to what God says. Now, I want us to turn to Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Galatians 1, 3 and 4. Three says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know grace means God's undeserved favor, his undeserved goodness. And peace, what is the word peace? Shalom. It's wholeness, it's completeness, it's restoration, it's health, healing, prosperity. When in the Jewish people, they speak Hebrew. When they say to you shalom, it's more than just like, we think of peace as just being peaceful, you know, no irritations. But shalom is a much bigger word. It means completeness. You know, if they wish you shalom, that means they're wishing you complete wholeness in every area of your life. That's what peace is. And so when the Bible tells us, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, it's not just talking about a peaceful mind, or it's talking about wholeness, health, healing, prosperity. Verse 4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from what? This present evil world. There it is. A lot of people think we're not delivered from this evil world, or this present evil world. They believe we're only delivered once we die and we get our new body and we go to heaven. And then we're delivered from all these evils in the world. It says here, who gave himself for our sins, why? That we might deliver it from not the world to come, but this present evil world, according to God's will and the will of our Father. So the evil word in Greek is poneros, which means hurtful. It means harmful. It means calamitous. It means ill, disease. It means bad. It means malicious, grievous, and wicked. Now, none of us here in this room want evil in our lives. If we were to choose evil and good, come on, it wouldn't take a rocket scientist. You're not going to choose evil. We all know, Christian or not, that evil is not good. We don't want the evil, we want the good, right? So, we don't want evil in this life or the next. We run from evil. Evil hurts. So if you think that I'm twisting the gospel or making it sound better than it really is, then you still don't know that your sins are forgiven. Because a lot of people, when you preach like this and say, no, you're delivered from all the present evils in this world, they'll look at you like, what kind of a gospel are you preaching? And they're looking at you like, oh yeah, you're just preaching a happy-go-lucky gospel, and yeah, everything is free, and you're just happy, and you got everything, and you don't have to... That's what they think. They call it a cheap gospel. But it's not cheap. It's free. Yes, it's free. But you know why it's free? Because it is so costly that to put any kind of a price on it, you cheapen it. It's like love. You can't buy love. And as soon as you think you can, that love isn't even your love anymore. And that's why the gospel remains free. It is free. You can never buy it. This is not a cheap gospel. It is a very, very precious thing that can only be obtained free. It's free or it's not at all. So those of us who think this way don't know that all your sins are forgiven. And we just read, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this evil world. It's because he gave himself for our sins, don't forget that we are delivered from this evil world. That's how it was made possible. The world doesn't understand that. How can you say that you are never going to have that trouble, Joshua? How can you honestly say that? When you live in this world where there's trouble all around, how can you say that you're never going to get sick? And yet we can. So it was by sin that this evil that we're talking about, that we're delivered from, entered into this world in the first place. And by your sin and my sin, we all became subject to it. There was no escaping it. We all owed the same penalty. What was that penalty? Death. By sin, death came into the world. The earth became under a curse. That's why everything's passing away. Everything is under that curse of death. But it says here Jesus died for our sins. It means he released us from the punishment of all of our sins and from the pain and all of the things that our sins deserved. All of the punishment your sins and my sins deserved. He died in our place and paid it off. And that is why you and I are delivered from this evil world and all of the circumstances in it. It's not because we're so good or we're so holy or we just do everything right or we're big people of faith. No, it's because he died to remove your debt. You owe sin nothing. You're free. So we're delivered because he died for our sins from this present evil world. And if you or anyone else has received this free gift of forgiveness of sins from Jesus, then you are delivered from this present evil world. I don't care if you live like you're not. The truth is, and his word never passes away, the truth is you are already delivered from it. You're living in it, and you don't have to. We'll get to that next week. So the word deliverer, what does it mean? And the Bible says he died for our sins to deliver us from this present evil world. Well, the word deliverer, I looked it up, and it means to tear out, to rescue, to release, to pluck out. He's plucked you out of this world and the system. You need to see yourself like that. He's rescued you from all the evils in this world. So we have been, think of it this way, I have been rescued, released, delivered, torn out of all things that are hurtful, all things that are going to harm me, all calamities that can come against me, all ills, all diseases, all things that are grievous. Those things I've been delivered, rescued, plucked out of, torn away from. This is the word of his grace. This is how we, as God's children, you wonder, how do we walk in this? It's by his word. This is the word that never passes away. This is the word of his grace, who is Jesus. So if you are in Jesus, you are delivered from all of these things. How delivered are you? As delivered as Jesus is. Think about that. Ask yourself this question. Is Jesus subject to any of the evils in the world today? Any of the calamities, the storms, the diseases? Do you think he's got a little place up in heaven where he's got a quarantine thing for all these people that have, is it Ebola or whatever? How do you pronounce that? In case somebody dies with you, well, we don't want to have this disease up here. Do you think so? Absolutely not. Do you think he's even afraid for one of the things that the evils that are on the earth? Of course not. He is totally free. He is not subject to any of the evils that this world has. He doesn't even live here. You know, people say, well, of course not. He doesn't even live here in the body anymore, in a flesh body. We do. And so they use that argument. He is seated at the right hand of God, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, 21, 22. And he is far above all principality, power, might, dominion, in every name that can be named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come. See, Jesus is far above the world's evil. But then you know what? That's true. But then so are you. Because in that same book, in Ephesians 2, 5 and 6, it says, even when you were yet dead in your own sin, God quickened. The word quickened means brought back to life together with Christ. And he raised us up together with him to sit in heavenly places in Christ. When Jesus rose high above, far above all principality, power, might, and every evil on this world, you rose in him. You were in him. And even though we live in this flesh body, you are plucked out of this world. And right now, you are sitting at the right hand of God. And your feet are dangling down. And you're looking down saying, whoa, that's how far above the evils you really are. If you only knew. So he's raised us, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But we're still in this flesh body. That'll be the argument. Yeah, but I'm still here in the flesh. And Jesus is not. And we are still on the earth where all these evils are. He's not on the earth. Easy for him to say. He's way up there with his body. But I want to ask you this. Did, while Jesus was on the earth, and if you've ever read the Gospels, I mean, all of us in this room should have read the Gospels or heard the Gospels at one time or another. And while Jesus was in his flesh body, just like your flesh body, Diane, Jesus came, he became flesh. We've read that, John 1:14. The Word put on a flesh body. His body was made exactly like ours. It got hungry. It got tired. It was a flesh body. There's nothing that was not flesh about his body. Now, while Jesus was on the earth in this flesh body, just like yours and mine, was he subject to any of the evils in this world? Think about it. Was Jesus subject to any evils in this world? When he was confronted with evils while he walked the earth, did he ever say, you know what? Sorry, boys. This is just life. Part of life. Suck it up. It'll pass. Did he ever say that? Did Jesus ever, ever have a day where he was off? You know, or say to his disciples, you know, guys, I just don't feel very good today. I think I'm going to take a day off and just rest today. You guys go on and go fish or whatever. You come back tomorrow, I'll be feeling much better tomorrow. Come on, did that ever happen? Oh, no. You know, did he ever turn tail and run when a demon started screaming? And say, whoa, this one, you know, like, gee. Did Jesus face anything evil in this life that he did not have authority over? Anything? I mean, there's 10,000 people spread out in front of him, and they got 2 fish and 5 little pieces of bread. Did he panic and say, oh my goodness, how are we going to feed these people? Okay, guys, I've got to get in my prayer closet for a couple of days. You handle the crowd. No, he picked up the fish and the bread. And he had authority over that amount, and he handed it to his disciples. And his disciples, they had the 3 or the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and every time they gave the last one away, there was 2 more. And that's how it was multiplied. It didn't go poof and multiply all at once. No, and that's a lesson for us. God gives as we need. 1 fish, 2 fish, okay, we need more, and it just kept on coming. God provides as you dish it up. As you need it. He doesn't give it to you all at once. Because there's no way those disciples could have handled that many fish and loaves of bread. So there was nothing that Jesus faced. No evil. In fact, they marveled because he spoke as one with authority. He acted as one with authority. Jesus never ran from any evil. He never cowered away or made excuses. He had the complete authority over all evil, whether it was sickness, whether it was a disease, whether it was blindness, or someone that was lame, someone that was missing a body part, you know, whether it was storms, whether it was hunger, even when it's a lack of wine at a wedding. He had complete authority over everything that was hurtful, harmful, grievous. He had the authority over it. All dominion over all the evils in the world. And he was in a flesh body. Why? Okay, people think about it. Is it because he was the Son of God? Why? Because he was sinless. He owed, the evils were there because of sin. And as long as you had sin, you had no authority over it. You owed sin. Jesus had no sin. The Bible says he was born, but without sin. And that gave him, he was righteous. That gave him the power and the authority over everything, all of the evils of this world. Right? He was sinless. But yet the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, I believe it's written, that as he is, so are we. Now, another question. Why does the Bible not say as he was? I would be happy to be like he was, that I could speak right now outside and say, clouds, be gone in Jesus' name, and let the sun shine. That I would have authority over everything. That I could look at my money and say, okay, in Jesus' name, I command you to double. I'd be happy to be able to do what he did. But the Bible says that as he is, so are we. Not as he was. Why? Why does the Holy Spirit use the present tense as Jesus is? Because the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. And you can understand the Holy Spirit, it is so amazing. There isn't one word that is irrelevant. And the Holy Spirit is so careful in recording the truth, the absolute truth about you. You can bank on it. You can stand on this word. You can take this word to the bank. It's never going to change. It's never going to lose its power. It is the truth. And as he is, the Bible says, so are we. Where? In this world. It doesn't say, so are we going to be in the next world. No, we are already as he is, present tense. Ask yourself, how is Jesus? He's doing pretty good. He's not subject to any evils. He's got everything he could ever possibly need. He is blessed above all things, all peoples. Jesus gave up. I'm going to explain why the Bible says as he is and not as he was. Jesus gave up his life for all your sin, my sin, for the whole world's sins. Why? So that he could deliver all of us from this present evil world. He doesn't want just a handful. He wants all of us free. He loves us all. And I don't think anything grieves the heart of God more is to lose one of his children when he has already done everything that he possibly can and he has given it to us freely. And all you have to do is receive it and just choose to receive his forgiveness. That's it. That's all you have to do. So Jesus gave up his life for the whole world, for all of the sin of the world. He paid all the price, all the pain and punishment for every sin that was ever committed, right from Adam, right to the last man that will ever be born on this earth. And he will never, ever, ever, ever again have to deal with sin. He will never, ever, ever again have to be punished for our sins. Once and for all, he went to the cross. Once and for all, he took that punishment, and he took the wrath of God in God's full fury against sin. And until Jesus cried out, it is finished. And it is finished for all eternity. For you, for me. So Jesus now will never, ever, ever have to deal with sin or pay the price for us again. He will never have to suffer any more of the pain and the punishment which sin deserves in any way in eternity ever again, right? Now, if we were as he was, he still had the cross in front of him. He still had to suffer person. And the Bible says we are not as he was, because then we still would have to suffer for sin just like he did. But as he is, Jesus will never suffer again for sin. He will never be penalized for sin, and neither will we. That's why the Holy Spirit says as he is, not as he was, because he still had to be penalized for our sin. So that is wonderful. That even gives us more confidence in the fact that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Why? Because Jesus took all the punishment for my own sin and paid it off. And that gives us the confidence and more of an assurance that we truly are delivered from this world's evils. How? Through the cross, through him taking and carrying our sins and cleansing us and taking us out of. Because it's sin that keeps us subject to the evils of this world. Now, does that mean sin? We're not talking about actions here. Because, you know, nobody's perfect. And even as Christians, we miss it and we fail. That doesn't mean we're living a sinless life. No, but what it means is we have received the forgiveness of our sins, and the blood of Jesus just continually keeps us cleansed in the sight of God. So in him we are totally free from all sin and its punishment. And now we have the same authority as he did on the earth. Think about that. I went through all that just to show you that he was in the flesh. He had power and authority over all things. You're still in the flesh. You have power and authority just like Jesus did. You can walk up to anything and you can speak to it, and it will obey you. You can change the evils of this world, and especially in your own life. Why? Because Jesus has given you the power to do so. And we are seated together with him high above. All power, all dominion, all authority, every name that is named. If there's something in your life that has a name, you have power over it in the name of Jesus. His name has been given all power, all authority in heaven and in earth, in this world, and the Bible says, and in the world to come. So we have the same authority as Jesus did on the earth over all the world's evils. The only difference is we don't have to die for the cause. That's the good news. Be of good cheer. No wonder he said, you guys cheer up. This is a good thing. You don't understand it now, but you will later about what I'm about to do for you. And then your hearts are going to be so full of joy. And the Bible says, and no man will take that joy from you. When you know that truth on the inside, you can't even explain it. How could you put a price on that? Would you sell it for something? Would you give it away and replace it with something else? No, there is no other, because in that treasure is everything you could ever possibly want. There is prosperity in that treasure. There is health, healing, and wholeness in that treasure. There is eternal life. There is peace. There is all the things the world's running after and can't obtain. Why? Because they're in the world and they're under the curse. And they might get a little bit ahead. You know, like you might be into health and fitness, and it might prolong your life by 5 years, maybe 3 years, I don't know. But in the end, you lose anyways. And it's like your whole life, you're spinning your wheels, trying to get ahead. And when you get there, you think, am I there yet? Is this life? So you would never give it away, what you've got, that deposit in your heart, that treasure. So we don't have to die for the cause. Jesus died for us. He gained the victory. That's what he said. You guys cheer up. I have gained the victory over the world for you. He's gained it from all the evils in this world, not for himself, but for us. And now you got to understand where we are today. And I taught on this many years ago. We are not fighting for the victory any longer. We are fighting from victory. We already have the victory. We are here to enforce the victory. It doesn't look like our finances are victorious. God's given us the power and the authority to enforce it. It doesn't look like my body is being restored. God's given you the power and the authority to bring life, to restore. So we're not trying, we're not in a trying to gain the victory, trying to get there and win the battle. No. It's already won. We now stand, we're seated with Christ in the heavenly places, and now we've been given the power and the authority to enforce victory, to enforce life, to drive out the evils in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we need to see ourselves. If you're ever going to live and be troubled free in your heart and have peace as the days are going, they're becoming more and more evil. And the Bible even predicts that at the end, it's going to get darker and darker and darker. And the people, it says their hearts are going to fail them for the fear of what's coming upon the earth. But your hearts ought not to fail you for fear. Why? Because you know who you are. And you have the authority over those evils. And don't let anybody tell you that you don't. Don't let anybody tell you that, well, that's just life. That's the way she goes. Here today, gone tomorrow. And you just never know what's going to come tomorrow. So you're not fighting for victory any longer. You have the victory in Christ. Use your authority and force the victory you've already been given. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30, we are members of God or Jesus' body. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. You can't get any closer to Jesus than that. We are like this. And if Jesus is delivered from this present evil world, then so are you. If Jesus has all power and authority in this life, then so do you. You are members of his body. He's the head. You are flesh of his flesh. You are bone of his bone. Wow. You need to see yourself for who you are. That is why this book is not just words on a page. This book and what's written is my deliverance. Why? Because this word that's written, the word of Christ, which is the word of grace and truth, will never pass away. It'll never lose its power. It is my deliverance. And so it's important that you know what this book says about you, about your life, about what God says you are and who you are in Christ. Because ignorance is not bliss in this case. In fact, the Bible even says in Hosea 4:6, my people, Christian people, what's happening to them? They're perishing. Why? Because of a lack of understanding. They don't know that they're delivered. They don't understand. They think they're only delivered from eternal separation from God. Someday in the sweet by and by when I die, I'm going to go to be with the Lord, and I'm going to be singing in heaven and walking on the streets of gold with the angels. Well, what about here and now? Oh, no. Here and now, we just, you know, suffer for Jesus, and we just, you know, we live like the rest of the world. You know, we might be sick. We have our little aches and our pains. But that's not what the Bible teaches. And the Bible says that people are perishing because they don't know the truth. So we are one with Christ. Flesh of his flesh. We are one with Christ. One with his authority. One with his righteousness. One with his power. One with his dominion. Must I go on? How can we say, what am I going to do? Oh my goodness, there's no hope. What I'm teaching you is the word that's never going to pass away. And we have a choice. Are you going to pick the word, or are you going to choose to live by your circumstances? Does Jesus have victory over every evil in this world? And so do you. Now next week, today we're going to close for the sake of time. The next week, I want to teach again on the same subject, but I'm going to call it part two of this sermon. I want to talk more about, I want us to have more insight on how to walk in the light of these truths that we're learning here today. And there are some things, and this actually, what I'm going to share next week is where the Lord had arrested me in that area. And You know, because a lot of times we as Christians, we have knowledge of these things, but we don't see them working in our lives. We see things that ought not to be there because we have this knowledge, and it frustrates us. And so I want to talk about something the Lord has laid on my heart and help us, give us a greater understanding of how to walk in the light of the truths that we're learning here today. How to really experience a troubled-free heart, to have peace, and to be free from all the evils that this world is bringing upon seemingly the whole world. Amen. Amen. Let's close in prayer.